this issue of the interconnectedness of SEEDS, AIDS, and the LA County Coroner's Office. You don't want to miss it. Join us, okay?
This Friday at noon, Sound Exchange goes to Chinatown for a visit to two new galleries, the Sam Lee Gallery on North Hill Street and the Art for Humans Gallery on Chungking Road. We'll be talking with the gallery directors, Sam Lee and Paul McLean, and their guest visiting artists at their opening receptions. Pippo Nguyen Duy, a photographer born in Vietnam, now working and teaching in Oregon and Oberlin College, whose East of Eden series explores within, quote, staged large-scale color photographs, the displacement of humanity within a post-apocalyptic North American landscape. And Christian Müller, a German artist whose series of drawings and large oil canvas paintings done in black and white expressionistically explore the anxieties and uncertainties of our times. So join me, Jay Kugelman, with my co-host Loretta Aroff when Sound Exchange goes to Chinatown, noon Friday on KPFK, Pacifica Radio, for a more international Southern California and beyond. So how did the two of you find one another?
Oh my God, Sam, after I had my show at Lightworks, he saw something and he called me and kind of and wanted to meet me. And like a great, great host, he flew me to LA and we had a great conversation about a year and a half ago. And, you know, we decided to work together. And so we have worked together through several different contexts. And, you know, and now finally, Sam, it's Sam Lee's gallery, so it's fantastic.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Sam, the last time we were talking to you, it was at Peter Fetterman's, and you've opened your own shop.
Yeah, finally, after 2 years of planning my program, the exhibition program, and then finally having it come to fruition, it's incredible, you know. And Pippo was one of my first artists that I've contacted because I wanted to work with him. And so because of the work that he's doing, the East of Eden project. And so,
where did Sam fly you out from?
Oh, I was in Oregon. I was on a break. I teach at Oberlin in Ohio. But, you know, for last year when he flew me out here, I was on a leave, and then so I was in Oregon. So there was a quick come down. Yeah, so that's how we met. And, you know, there was, like, so many similarity. We actually discovered that we wrote the same thesis for our graduate work. You know, we both were very interested in, you know, and also, you know, Sam was born in Vietnam. We have this great appreciation for good food, you know, and all of these things that's beyond art, you know. And I think and I think it just kind of like the dating was relatively quick, and I just kind of fell in love with him, and now we're married, you know. So that's how it kind of came together.
Could you tell us a little bit about these forests in the pictures?
Yes.
It's not the same one. It's different one.
It's different, of course, because I live in so many different locations. You know, there's a difference. I think the contrast between a post-apocalyptic kind of post-industrial landscape like Ohio, you know, where you see the trees, that I think the landscape a little bit more, you know, it's sadder, you know, whereas I think the beauty and the drama of the West Coast, like the pine trees, the kind of like beautiful sunlight that I find in Oregon gives a contrast in the work. So, you know, so for instance, I think for me to think about the Western landscape as a Garden of Eden and so beautiful, for me, I look at how these kind of figures can kind of subvert that idealized landscape that we always have in our head about, you know, the country and the West.
Could you comment a little bit, maybe Sam or people, on how this relates to 9/11? You mentioned that this was...
This project is called East of Eden. Well, you know, people, you can interject,
you know,
too.
I'm sure Sam can talk better than I can, because, you know, he's the brain. I'm just making the work.
You're the eye, he's the brain.
Yes.
Well, the project, when I first saw people's work, I thought it was so timely and very poignant about what's happening now, you know, especially with the war. and the project's called East of Eden, and I was just thinking about how we as a society, you know, collective society, how we function within the time that's happening now since September 11th, because I think we are very anxious and we have feelings of uncertainty, you know, about what is going to happen in the future, and especially with the administration, current administration, and also, you know, the political and the social, you know, aspects of it. It just calls into question everything that we have, that we know about what is America.
I think I want to add on to it too. I think the, you know, there's a certain thing about anxiety and, you know, being anxious with the landscape. But I want the work to actually reflect like how strong the strength of humanity too, that, you know, yeah, there's a war, there's something that's going to happen anytime, but we're not giving up. We're going to go and get our hair cut. We're still going to go on a date with like the beautiful one that we want to go on a date with, you know? So I think, and I guess I just want to add, is the first piece, which is this mountain fire, was a direct response to like September 11th, when I start thinking about, you know, my God, now my sons, my children, their world have changed, and how they will have to start to worry about their daily lives like I did when I was growing up in Vietnam. And so this is how it comes about. But, you know, and it's a piece about just like how that marked the change in our landscape and our attitude to the safety and the plentiful resource that we have around. So
do you go back to Vietnam?
Yes,
at all?
Yes, absolutely. I go back at least every 2 years, if not every year. And, you know,
East of Eden is going to continue beyond just photographing here in Northern America. I think it's going to go back.
It's actually being made in Vietnam as well, using, you know, for me, growing up in the war, surviving, being shot at, my brother's lost an arm. It was an amazing opportunity for me to use those people who have been scarred by the war in these new images that I'm making in that particular landscape. For instance, that's one of those pieces that, you know, that was done in Vietnam.
The Lotus Pond.
Yeah, the Lotus Pond. And that's just part of the many new pieces I'm developing over there. So whenever I go there, I get a chance to do that work. And then, you know, when the body builds up, I think I would love to show that work at some point.
How do these images reflect on the war experience, the necessity for the war, the tragedy for the war, and the outcome of the war? How do they mirror that, even the ones that are done here in the United States? Obviously have the Vietnam experience behind them.
Yeah, of course. I think most of my work is definitely autobiographical, you know, whether or not it's, you know, my self-portrait or what have you. But these are actually old stories that I have witnessed and experienced when I was growing up in Vietnam, where they're you running away from being shot at, or you're trying to find a place of refuge. It's my story, but I'm using the subject so that the people here can actually grasp and understand that, to say that it transcends a personal sort of like story, and where, you know, we can actually look at this subject and think about the kind of the narrative that we all live in. So for me, that's really fluid, the change between Vietnam and this particular landscape. Does that answer your question?
It does, and I hope people can come and see. You have like a high school band sitting,
yes,
by a riverside. You have a field of pumpkins.
Right.
You have children lying in grass, and a wonderful swamp with an old recliner chair in,
yes,
it.
Yes.
These images are just filled with sort of lamentation,
yes,
at,
yes,
at,
yes,
the desolation and emptiness, mm-hmm, of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's also hope, I think, in the images. You know, even though we have this sort of tragedy, but I think there's hope for us to sort of, you know, to not sound like too much of a cliche, but to have a better future, you know, sort of through these.
Well, that's what I talk about, you know, the strength. So life is really terrible, it's filled with like a lot of worries, and yet, you know, we have to go on and just like kind of keep on living. And I think, you know, like that piece, like the Lotus Pond, you know, I just think about, you know, the father passing on his love and his sort of responsibility to like the younger ones, to like deal with, like, you know, to create and live in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
you might also sense it, I mean, from my perspective, maybe a little bit of humor as well.
Yes, yes.
You know,
sure.
Kind
sure.
of a Star Wars-like character
sure,
here,
sure,
you
sure,
know?
Sure.
Where,
but, you know, I think tragedy and comedy really work beautifully together, you know? I think, you know, one can just enhance. You can just, like, kind of go back and forth between what's funny and what's really sad within the same sentence, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, I hope to stay on that stage so that the work doesn't have, you know, I think when things are so serious, you need a little bit of comic relief as well, you know, so.
Where is the pumpkin field with the hobby horse? Where did you find that?
That is on a farm in Oregon. You know, and it was a fall, with, you know, and all of these objects, of course, you know, they kind of like deal with a substitution for like, for us anyway, you know, surviving or being destroyed or going on. I just think like, you know, it's a very much of a portrait, I think, you know.
Before we let you both go back to the opening and greet all of your guests and friends that have come to see you, I just have one other quick question about the prints themselves.
Sure.
If you did them or if they were done,
you know,
by...
It's a variety of... Some of them I printed myself, and some of them, they are printed by other people. So, you know, it just depends on the situation. And I think, you know, working the way that I do when I have the chance and the opportunity, I do my work. But because I'm in Vietnam, I'm in Ohio, I'm in Oregon... And when Sam said, you know what, people, I need this. If I have someone working for me, I can actually call the person and get this thing situated, right? You know, but so it's a variety, you know, so.
But for the most part, it's printed under your supervision.
Yes,
yes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to impart to the KPFK audience to invite them to... your new space in Chinatown on Hill Street, which we'll give the address, you know.
Yeah, I think that it's a powerful show. It's very poignant. I think that this show, East of Eden, is it's really what's happening now, you know, our feelings of uncertainty and about, you know, where we're at in the world. I think this is a really great opportunity for people to come in and see the work.
And I think, you know, one thing I may add to, I think a lot of time when you think about staging photographs, you know, but for me, I think these are very much like documentary kind of photos of like our time, you know. I think these scenes, I didn't make it when I saw it, but I think I get a chance to actually recreate these scenes. So for me, a lot of these are like things that actually happen. And it's not just about, you know, like fiction, you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Any final thoughts about the galleries that are springing up around you? What are you part of here?
It's incredible. I mean, this critical mass, I think, that's happening in Chinatown. There's so many galleries coming up. It's opening left and right, so I think that's great. It's great for Chinatown. It's great for the gallery world. So,
you know, I think it's great. It really reminds me so much of, like, the East Village back in the 80s when it was just so dynamic, you know. You have... this young business, you get this regular life that surrounds you. It's just really incredible. And I think, you know, it's definitely a different vibes, and you go to somewhere like, say, you know, Chelsea in New York, you know, where everything seems to be like already been cemented and manufactured. I think it's great. I just love the energy here.
You've been listening to a conversation with gallerist Sam Lee and photographer Pippo Nguyen Duy, whose large-scale stage color photographs, East of Eden, will be on exhibit through October 20th at the Sam Lee Gallery, 990 North Hill Street in Chinatown. The gallery's phone number is area code 323-227-0275. Their hours are 12 to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Saturdays, and their website is www.samleegallery.com. Down and across Hill Street, artgoers come to the row of galleries on Chungking Road. In the following conversation, Loretta Aeroff and I will be talking with Paul McLean, lead artist of the collective Art for Humans Gallery, and current visiting German artist Christian Müller, whose black and white drawings and canvases, expressionistically inspired by Jackson Pollock and Anselm Kiefer, are currently on exhibit. So here we are again in Chongqing Road. This is the hot spot, isn't it?
It's a beautiful night. Most of the galleries are having openings, and so it's so live down here tonight. This is what you live for when you're having an art venue, where everyone as a community turns out, and there's so much energy, and people are happy to have art as a focus for a lot of other great things.
What was this space used for before you got to it?
It was a gallery before, but it had not been used for a while. So, like, sometimes you walk into a space and you get a sense right away that you can reinfuse it with that kind of intensity that we bring to the table, and it was perfect for us.
Tell us about your artist and how you met him, and how did you discover this work?
Well, I had a hunch about 10 months ago that I could build a collective of artists, starting with MySpace, YouTube, and Flickr. I've built collectives starting in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in Nashville, Tennessee, Austin, Texas. I had a residency at the Morris Grace Foundation in Northern California a few years ago, and I felt like it would be possible to build a strong international group of artists. And I felt like it really needed to be international at this time. I think that we're sending a different kind of message about cooperation, especially cultural priorities, through this project, because politically there's a lot going on that I think emphasizes the problems, and we're doing things that emphasize solutions.
How many artists are involved in this exhibition right now?
Just one, Christian Moeller.
Could you tell us something about Christian Moeller, the artist that's up right
Christian,
now?
Christian has been painting and building a strong body of work for a long time now. And we're the same age, which, you know, early 40s. And in some ways, when I saw where he was in his career in Berlin, I really identified on a personal level. And this is a really amazing thing about the internet as a medium for these kind of exchanges. I didn't think it would be possible to become friends, especially we don't even speak the same language. His English was all from grade school, high school level, and he hadn't used it in like a couple of decades. So we had to build a relationship based on trust with very poor tools. You know, I had no German. He had barely any in English that he could remember. And the whole process of writing letters back and forth was really carried by kind of just one of those fortunate good feelings that has turned out to be perfectly spot on. But I think because of the quality of the websites that I built for these projects, and because of my own artistic resume and background, which was documented and presented on the site, it gave me a leg up in terms of approaching these artists, because they could see me as another artist first, not as someone who might exploit them, but as someone who might partner with them or have a sensitivity to their concerns.
Could you just tell us about what appealed to you, what attracted you to the drawings? Was there something that you saw in them that you kind of connected with?
It was the relationship of the drawings to the paintings. And I think that Christian's relationship with abstract expressionist painting, especially Jackson Pollock, but all the way through Anselm Kiefer, was really important to me, because I have the same passion for that kind of painting. But the drawing was something else. When I put together the online exhibit, I had an opportunity to see most of the drawings that are in this exhibit, and also a great sampling of many large canvases. And so what I saw was kind of two different narratives, really, and two different sorts of expression. And the power, especially after we've gotten to actually sit down face to face and have some conversations about Germany and the aftermath of wars and a whole century of conflicts and strange behaviors and incomprehensible tragedies, to review the work, especially the drawings, in that context, especially in talking about the silence after World War II, the cultural silence about all the horrible stuff that had happened, that went on really through Christian's parents' lives and bled into his life in a way that somehow the drawings became much more powerful psychologically to me, and I felt that it was really important that we begin there in this cycle of shows. There are going to be 3 shows in the exhibit space over the next 10 days from the time that he came in here, and I'm starting with the drawings and then the black paintings, which when I saw these in terms of post-war Germany at that point, I felt like these were very powerful statements that I could understand the difficulty of an artist in his position trying to get these works dealt with seriously in a culture like Germany's after the war. And I felt like in Los Angeles, we had a much better opportunity to take that work and give it a clean viewing. But also in terms of honoring or maybe doing an homage to abstract expressionist painting, which I have strong feelings about, that it is not dead, that it is important to show and grow it, and that it is important to support artists who make it. It's not a question of whether it's been done before or not. It's whether this artist is doing it today, and what is that artist doing with it today. And so it became an important part of our program to show drawings, unfettered, and then paintings that make the whole process transparent and show the relationships of the drawings and the narrative for the artist in relation to the painting, and to put it on view in real time. And then to migrate it back to the web in a way that is completely contemporary.
I think that's going to pull in a lot of people, that description. I really do. So, and I agree with you regarding the nurturing of abstract expressionism.
Oh, really?
Do you have anything else, Jay?
Well, can you call the artist over for a
Absolutely,
few words?
Absolutely, yeah.
Hello.
Congratulations and welcome to Chinatown.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed.
Maybe
yes.
You could say that in German, Jay.
Yeah, I feel herzliche Grüßen und willkommen nach Chinatown.
Wow, super.
Ja. Extra prima.
Vielen Dank. Yeah. Ich wäre ja froh, wir könnten das Interview ganz in Deutsch machen. I think my English isn't very well. Yes, but maybe it's enough to understand all what you want to know.
Did you ever think you'd be showing in L.A.'s Chinatown after having seen the movie, I'm sure?
Never before. It's my first visit in America. Yeah. Uh-huh. I arrived 1 week before, and it's really my first visit here. And I'm just in Chinatown. That's all. Really. I know that I have a show here at the end of April. Yeah, I know Paul from the MySpace site, yes. since January.
Yes.
Yeah, and I never talked so much English before. I learned it in school. But then we start to have a contact by many letters. Mm-hmm. And I need many time to sit on the computer and so. And we start that we want to make a show here at the end of April. And it's a very short time till today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we can realize it. And I'm so happy to can be here in America, and especially in L.A.
And the Goethe
and in Chinatown.
And the Goethe Institute helped you get here, right?
Yes, the Goethe Institution. It's an institution from the German government. They helped us very much. And also the town where I was born in Germany. It's a town in the southwest, with much just industrial areas. It's called Ludwigshafen. Ludwigshafen near the Rhine. The River Rhine, yes. And it helps us so much to come to here.
Did any of your surroundings at that time in your hometown influence?
Yes, really. Yes. When I start to paint, I start maybe since 6 years as a child, but in earlier years I paint industrial areas and industrial areas by night. And so I reduce the color in my work. And since 1990, I left the color complete. Yes, but I don't miss the color today. And we show here. These works are from the last 2 months, and we decide to start with the drawings. And on Monday, I begin to show to paint a big painting here. So we will have a second opening on next Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to show three big paintings. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit too expensive to bring them from Berlin to here, yeah. And that was the reason why we changed the program. Mm-hmm. But it's no problem. It's really no problem. It's great.
So people have 1 week to see this work, and then when they come back,
right,
they will see new work two more times. Yes.
Yes, okay. We have three shows in 1 week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Monday we change the place here. Mm-hmm. We change the works on this side. I have also paintings here, like 85 centimeter. Mm-hmm. It's about 30 inches to 50 inches, and the works we show on this wall. And here I start to create the big painting.
To do the painting, great. A show in progress, live.
Yes. So it will be this style, though. It'll be in black, and it will be painted on what kind of surface with what kind of paint?
Yeah, it's a little bit special. I normally paint like these. Yeah. No one can see now, but I can tell you with black pigment and white. And I use many time also, and these works I create at the ground, yeah. And but the bigger painting on canvas, yeah, and stand up. How do you say?
Standing canvas, right?
Standing canvas.
So you're not working, yes, on the floor like Jackson Pollock. No, you're working on a standing.
Yeah, Jackson Pollock is one of my favorites. Yes, because the art in the 19th are changing in so many ways to new kind of art, media arts, and so. And I love also all painters from the abstract expressionism, like Jackson Pollock, yes, or
Franz Klein.
Yes. And I don't know, I really didn't thought about it. It's I don't know, or Anselm Kiefer, yes. And but I know exactly it's Jackson Pollock is Jackson Pollock, and I yes, that's. But I love the kind of art. Yeah, this expressive art.
You've been listening to a conversation with visiting German artist Christian Müller and Art for Humans Collective Gallery head artist Paul McLean. Art for Humans Galleries is located at 945 Chungking Road. Gallery hours are 12 to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, with evening hours till 10 on Friday and Saturday. Their phone number is area code 213-621-7685, and their website is www.artforhumans.com and www.myspace.com/artforhumans. For Sound Exchange, this has been Jay Kugelman thanking Loretta Aroff for co-hosting, Ji-Hyun Lee for mixing and editing, and D'Angela Jones for sending out the program. Stay tuned for the midday news.
Tune in, turn on to music. From Folkways to Sun Ra and what's in between. Spaceways Radio, a hip-hop show in tribute to the masters. Tonight, from 8 to 10 p.m., right here on KPFK. Hey!
Spaceways Radio.
This is People's Power Radio! Bringing the truth home, we talking about all our children.
It couldn't be more backwards drilling in the Arctic.
We Republicans admire your ambitions.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it.
Right wing, neocons, Bushites, Schwarzeneggerites is about wealth and power.
Tens of thousands of people gather in Louisiana and across the U.S. to protest the sentencing of six African-American youth in the Deep South.
Global climate change is the suspected culprit in two natural disasters, the first a drought in Australia, drastically reducing wheat production, and the second in the form of a torrential rains and flooding, ravaging much of the African continent.
The U.N. calls for an investigation into human rights abuses by the Ethiopian military in the Ogaden region.
And a Nebraska lawmaker sues God for the divine power's responsibility in acts of terrorism in a case he says is meant to teach people an important civics lesson.
Stay tuned for details of these and other stories on the KPFK Midday News for Friday, September 21st. I'm Ernesto Arce.
And I'm Niall Elwer Danny. Stay with us.